Blog Talk Radio.
Ow. The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, and Juma Mubarak. Everyone is making their personal prayers right now. Praise be to Almighty God. We're going to hear this silence. And then Imam Yahya Abdullah is the Khatib for today in Jacksonville, Florida, Masjid Muhammad.
All faith belongs to Allah, the guiding father, the cherished, the keeper, the sustainer of all the systems of knowledge. We seek his help. We ask for his forgiveness. We put our faith and our trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. I've been witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Acknowledge the one and only that there is none like unto him. And I've been witness that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole of the Quran was revealed 1,445 years ago. Is Allah's servant, messenger, prophet for all of mankind. We ask Allah's peace, his blessings, his highest exaltation. Dear son of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, his companions, the righteous souls, and you, O Muslims, be peace. As-salamu alaykum. That is, may the peace that only Almighty God Allah can give you be upon you. We like to extend our greetings to our local community members here at Masjid Muhammad. Those of you who are joining us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, StreamYard Live, and our Juma Conference Live, as well as American Muslim 360, the African American History Month, still broadcasting to Samar Fanaila. Thank you very much. And to your listeners all over the United States of America and outside on American Muslim 360, the largest internet program or radio online program in the Muslim community. So our Christian friends, family members, neighbors, and co-workers, we say to you, peace be with you. Our Jewish friends, we say to you, shalom. And I almost, before I get started, for my mind, I need to explain something I said. I'm listening. I go back and I listen, and thank you, Uthman, for giving me these CDs so I can listen to them and make corrections or explain things that I know. Last week when I was listening back at the lecture, I mentioned haram at least three or four times, but I didn't explain what haram means. Now, you know, been doing this for so long, we take things for granted. The Muslims, most of us know what haram means, but our Christian brothers and sisters and family members don't. Haram means law. Allah. Halal is law. Haram is unlawful. Okay? So I didn't translate that. So I apologize for that. And if I listen again and I hear something that I should translate because it doesn't make any sense, if I'm saying something and you're not understanding what I'm saying, you know, that's basically the point. So we apologize for that. Haram is unlawful. for halal is law. Welcome, my dear friend, I'm Muhammad Abdullah, Birmingham Islamic Center, Jumeirah, as always, in Malaysia, the leader there. Family and friends in Bermuda, greetings to you and to all of you all joining us for this Friday prayer broadcast on Al Islam Worldwide Ministry, live from Masjid Muhammad in Jacksonville, Florida. Our silent prayers today, the number of unfortunate people rising while Palestinian brothers and sisters in Gaza, let us have a moment of silent prayer for the 30-plus thousand that have lost their lives and some of the people. Amen. God have mercy on the souls of those who are deceased and comfort and relief as much as possible to their survivors, family members, and friends. Now, I'm going to read something that I read last week, and because I received a number of calls and text messages, and I didn't think about it when I read this, but it makes sense to explain this, as I said. And I quoted a popular saying of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Jummah prayer. And he said, if you were here last week to recall this, what I read from the teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, the saying of Muhammad the Prophet. Now, when I say that, let me make something clear. And I've got a quote, so it's not something new that I make it clear. The Quran, all the words of God, revealed for one person, Muhammad the Prophet. Okay? That's it. However, the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also made expression. He would say things. And the distinction is when the companions would quote, they would say, now you know what they're saying in the meeting. Just somebody say, I heard so and so. Right? But the Quran is not I heard it so and so and so. The Quran is revelation from God, direct to Muhammad the Prophet. And he received the revelation, and then he implemented it, he applied it as God guides him. So for every opinion that we have in our religion, the major one, the Prophet, he has to explain it, and he did it, to explain how we should carry out, how we should implement these particular cases. Come on. Okay? So I read this hadith, and it has strong support. One of the, what they call Sahih, and Sahih means very strong, very authentic. It's not contradicting the Quran. It's not saying the Prophet says something that you can't support in the Quran or it contradicts. Because if there's any saying or any statement that contradicts the Quran, the Prophet himself says, I didn't say it, throw it away. And if you have a decision to make about what they said I said, well, this is going to happen. He said, consult the book of God. If there's a contradiction in what they say I said, go to the book of God and say it. Okay? All right, so I read this last week, that Allah's messenger, prayers of peace upon him, said this as it pertains to Jummah. Said, I got a number of calls. What a good question, too. When it is Friday, Jummah, the angels stand at every door of the masjid. It's all over the world. And what? It's your house. It's your prayer home. And they write down the names of the people in order of their arrival. I read this letter. So all of our names written in the book. Written. You don't have to tell the angels our names. They already know. You write it down. Write it down. And record the names of the people in the order of their arrival. When the imam sits, like I said here, waiting for the weather to make the second advance, the angel closed the book, the record, and they sit and listen like you all are in all over the world. Listen to the lecture. Listen to the football. Okay? So I received a number of calls just as I was told. And the question, and I didn't think of it. Well, that was a good question. It's the same question, but asked by some different people. Well, Imam Yahya, what about those of us online? Good question. And I said, well, I didn't think of that. I did it. I'm just being honest. So I shared with them two things for supporting what I'm going to say. I said, well, Muhammad the Prophet reported to have said, Sahih, authentic hadith, they got a prophet. Al-Ardu Masjidullah. The earth, the entire earth, is the masjid, is the mosque of God. The whole earth. And Allah says in the Quran, Al-Ardu Wasi'ah. And the earth is wide. Now, that's a reference also to the expansion of the universe. I'll have difficulty sharing with you something that's mine to be some of your father's story. So I gave them that. And then I gave them another verse in the Quran where Allah said, wheresoever you may be, he will connect you, join you, and bring you all together. Do my eyes? But that's a reference to technology. That God is connecting us all over this world with technology. In the time of Muhammad the Prophet, as we define it, typical stream yard, Facebook, we don't even say YouTube, this technology didn't exist. Okay? But in 2024 and in the 21st century, we have all this amazing technology by the way of the mercy of God. It is a law of mercy. Because some of the people call me and say, well, I can't get to the masjid. I am incapacitated. I am in a nursing home. I am in a rehab center. You see? All kind of reasons. Or I'm working and I can't get off my job. But I tune in. I plug in. Am I being recorded in the book by the angels? I said, absolutely you are. You present yourself for the project. Matters are judged by ennia in our religion, by intention. So I issued some fatwa. You didn't know that? I'll translate it. Religious ruling based on the questions that I took here. So there is scholars out there, and you shake the scholar, and you hear what I'm saying. He said, we have to take this with you. You can send me corrected if you think I'm wrong. But based on what I researched and what I just shared with you, and that's just a part of it. Yes, Jamal, online, can't get to the next year, you're incapacitated, you work for allowing, whatever the excuse and reason is or explanation, but you are here with us online. And you present yourself, your attention, and attend to Jamal friend. And you pray with us as if you were here. Now, another thing the prophet said was your support. And this is on Dawah, like this. There were people in the time of the prophet, their business occupied there. Come around and do what the other believers were doing to help promote the religion, to help people. They couldn't do it. So they asked the prophet, they said, well, my time consumes me. My business consumes me. I'm occupied. I can't participate. They used to call them jolas, go out for the dialogue, propagate other religions, and share this information with other people. He said, we can't do it. He said, the prophet is reported to have said, support those who are going out doing that work, and you will receive the reward as though you were with them. And then he advised his teachers. Whenever they were going among people, two things, very important in this issue. Whenever you go among people, do not try to change their culture. Try to refine it if it's unrefined. But don't change. Don't change the dress except to teach them how to keep it modest, clean, but don't try to take them away from their culture and bring them into your culture. This is important back in Brandon history one time. That was one thing. And then he said, and teach in the language, that's 14 verse 4, it's Revelation, Abraham, God revealed in that chapter. Teach the people in the language that they understand and they can comprehend. So, yes, to those of you all asked that question. You can't come to any masjid or attend any masjid. I'm going to ask something to you guys. If you attend any masjid or to any masjid physically, because of reasons I mentioned and maybe other reasons I didn't mention, and you present yourself here with Alex Lauer or our ministry or on any other social platforms, like math teachers or football, and this is around the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels, record that you made yourself present for the prize of prayer. So you get the credit even when you couldn't go to a physical next year. Now, follow the logic. So it's logical conclusion. You can also donate online. That's all you do. So you don't have to, and I'm not saying you're doing this, you know, they use that language. So all you're going to take the way out, you're going to take a leader. No. If you present yourself online for Juma, yeah, present yourself the cat online for the Juma. Oh, your father comes. Okay. Concluding our subject today from last week, I hope that helps those of you all out there that have the same question and can ask me that, and it gives you some measure of speed and comfort. And it is, oh, I know what it was. The prophet said to his teachers, do not denounce another. This is my attitude. I have not. He said to us, to the imams and the teachers in the past, do not make the religion difficult for the people and chase them away from it. He said, don't make it hard on them. Don't overburden them. Don't make it overbearing. This is the key to the prophet. He said, make the religion easy for the people so they won't dislike them. And Allah says in the Quran, Allah does not cause anyone to believe. Part two in the conclusion of this. Allah does not force anyone to believe in him. Chapter 17, verse 89, to start. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. God made the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. God, the mighty spoke to as revelation to Muhammad the Prophet, Brad and Peace of the Prophet. And we have explained to mankind, to human beings, in this Quran, every kind of parable, similitude, example, story, whatever. Yet the greater part of mankind refused to believe it and refused to accept it except with ingratitude. They don't accept it. They don't believe it. That's what it looks like. God's own part. 39. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنْ الْعَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. They say to you, O Muhammad, and this is that the people would say this to him. It is time we shall not believe in you. Laka. Lamina. We would not never believe. That's a strong negative. It's stronger than that. We would never believe in you, Muhammad. Now, they're giving the prophet conditions. And in giving him these conditions, they're really giving God conditions. We shall not believe in you until thou call a friend to gush forth for us from the earth. Perform that miracle, Muhammad. Verse 91. How that corn and that cat? Muhammad, we're not going to believe in you. So you can show us water doesn't fall from the earth. I mean, they're trying to mean it, but I'm going to tell them. So I'm just going to give it to you. And on the surface, it addressed all that I asked in for miracles. Or to have a garden of date trees and vines and cause rivers to gush forth in the midst of those gardens of date trees and vines, Muhammad, carrying abundant water. Can you perform that miracle? Verse 92. Al Kuskiton Sameh Kameh Ba'abuta Aleyna Kisasa.
Side note, African American History Month, the person complaining. Now, I already told you it wasn't the right brothers, they were the wrong brothers. An African American named Charles, Google it, named Charles Page, P-A-G-E. You know how he discovered the plane and what the plane could do? What you sent me on the test. He studied the dragonfly all day long. He just watched the dragonfly in the minute. I forgot the number of times, I still have to say, of how many times it flapped their wings. And his brother just watched the dragonfly. And then he started putting together the wings of the airplane, Charles Page, before the Wright brothers. Now, you're not going to get that in school. Now. You're not going to put that in the textbook. That's why I say we have to have our own history and our own language. Our own history, yeah, and our own heritage. I think with our own heritage, okay? So here is the challenge now. Show us God, Muhammad, and bring the angels to us face to face, or we don't believe. Well, listen. And this is for all of you all out there with this attitude today. This was back in the 7th century, 1400 years behind us. But we have people like that around still today. Allah, today is Friday. This was Monday or Tuesday, this week. The brightest sun in the sky just revealed to Australian astronomers this week. Now, get ready for this now, because I'm still reeling on this one. It is 500, now don't forget my point, I'm connecting this with bringing God face to face. And what Allah create, you can't see, so how are you going to see the creator of what I'm about to explain? This sun that they just discovered in the sky been out there. Didn't have the tools to see it. 500 trillion times the size of our sun. That's exactly what I said, huh? Allahu Akbar. So I did research. The diameter of the sun, 864,000 miles in diameter. That's our sun. sun is 12 billion light years away. I'm researching. A light year is 5.88 trillion miles. One light year is roughly 6 trillion miles. So the scientist says this sun is 12 billion light years away. So that means you have to multiply 12 billion times 6 trillion, whatever crazy number that turns out. Our sun's diameter, 864,000 plus square miles. The sun they just saw is 500 trillion times the size of ours. And you know what else it does? It's so huge. They say it eats, consumes other suns. It eats 370 suns a year, roughly a sun a day. It's so big, Jeff. Oh, Lord. I said, Putin, who? Netanyahu, who? Pharaoh, who? Allah. Now, look. One of the powerful messages there is this. No matter how dark it is out here in the world, and in your life, like a five-side sign, the light is brighter than the darkness. They call it a quasar. And it comes out of a black hole. You know what I'm telling you? And all of the newscasts all over the world was talking about this. I took a picture of what they showed. And I fell in sejda in my mind, prostration in my mind. And I said, Allahu Akbar. I just kept saying it. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. God is greater. God is greater. Now, how are you going to see that God face to face? And post, brother. Little black God, come on. Broad now. Come on out of there. You can't create anything like that, bro. You can't create something that's 500 trillion times outside of the sun that's brighter 500 trillion times the size of the sun we got up here in this sky. Now, one last thing on this sun. Consider the space that it exists in. And it's been out there, according to the scientists. They say it's been there. But they thought it was a star because it was so far away. I said, oh, there's no star. And Allah said, no, I'm going to show you something. Turn the lens up a little bit on that Hubble. And when they saw it, it blew their mind. They say, this can't be. Yes, it can. There's a chapter in the Quran titled Shams the Sun. There's a chapter in the Quran titled Qamar the Moon. And in chapter 55 of the Quran, Allah says, every day a new splendor does he shine. And he creates worlds you know and worlds you don't know. And God says, no just estimate does man make of God. And the Moses people and Moses say, God, but we need to see you. You need to show yourself. Now, they didn't have the technology in the past that we're talking about now. So what did Allah say in the Bible and the Quran? To Moses. Say, you see that mountain? God addressed Moses in the scripture. If it remains in its place, you shall see. Moses looked at it. And I understand what it means now when they say he swooned. S-W-O-O-N. Because I swooned when I heard about this son. I said, well, that's what happened to Moses. he just like, we're so insignificant. Allah showed Moses neutrons, electrons, photons, physics. He showed him spiritual abstract behind matter. They didn't have that science in that day. So because Allah turned Moses onto the science, he said, this is just too much. I'm sorry. I can't handle the mountain. How am I going to handle the one made the mountain? You can't handle the sun that's 500 trillion times our sun and shines brighter. How are you going to ask to see the face of the one made that? You can't even get there. And congratulations, landed on the moon last night. Odyssey landed on the moon last night. And they said, we're going to try to set up on the moon. They landed a piece of equipment up there and then jet off to Mars. But you're not going to get out there to that other sun. That's 12 billion light years away. And if you do, it's going to eat you up like it eat up the rest of the sun. Now, let me tell you something now, as I conclude this. First of all. And I don't know, so let me make a disclaimer right up front. But based on what the scientists are saying and what I read in the Quran, we are looking at, Allah allows mankind to see how our world will eventually end. The sun either will come and get it and take it back into the black hole. Allah Akbar. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalam ala rasulil kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.
And the fact of the merciful Redeemer. May his peace, Allah's peace and blessings, be upon his noble and generous message of Muhammad the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ba'at. And what follows thereafter of this Exodus salvation. Greetings again, dear brothers and sisters. As-salam alaykum. Being with you. Now, just a note to offer this command, particularly when I sit down. Try to avoid as many black holes as you can while you're there. The out of black holes. African American, not black history. All that little folk. I want to share something with you that someone sent me. Very hard, such a thing. I'm going to read it to you, and then I will share with you our comments on it. But I thought this was important because I don't know how the message is received. We get feedback. I get feedback here this week. People send messages online. But this is actually an email someone sent. And listen to this. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yahya. In the name of Allah, who is merciful to us all, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for making interfaith greeting. Over the years, when you started greeting your audience, was still open to the Jews. Little did I know how useful and powerful that one word would be. I have a stepmother. She is a Hebrew Israelite. When I started greeting her with shalom, I think she loved it. Because I might have been the only one who greeted her with the greeting of her children. Little did I know the strong bond that is drawn between the two of us. He converted from Christianity to Hebrew Israelite. Now as she is dying, and Allah has mercy on her, and ease her transition. Now as she is dying, I live in one from cancer, where she requested to die, and under hospice care of my family and nurse visit, not the children, her house or parents' house, very well off, I need to. I have used a lot of Islamic language. As the hours of fasting winding down, after I left her to be breathless with my family, I returned to her bedside, and I said, Shalom. Her eyes opened wide, looked over to me, and moved her hand out from under the blanket toward mine, offer that one word expression. Mind you, she's in the latter of breastfeeding. See her reaction from that one word. So I thank you. Who knew that small expression and controversy, bold expression, would benefit me? Thank you. You have brought me close to a person who wanted to be far away from her close friends, children, and parents, into the small confines of my apartment, and her last day from a small word, Shalom. With people, I would have been extreme and thought that that wasn't acceptable. That is the true meaning of expanding my chest, Hospital. Now, in that room, I say Shalom. So, what it was doing out in the audience, to the nice letter about his stepmother, offer that one word, Shalom. And he did. He was an innocent. He would have been an explicit. I know who the brother is. I won't mention his name because I don't know his family specifically. He's not Muhammad, as we can see. My name, second father about Juma. We ought to make some money. Why am I emphasizing this question? I thank God has given me a condition within myself where money is no temptation. I don't want money for money's sake. I don't want wealth for wealth's sake. I want money to better this community and to better my own condition. How am I going to better the community if I don't better my own condition? If I become a millionaire, I'm going to impress millionaires out there in this American society. African-American, European, French, I don't care what he is. He's going to be impressed that this man has come along this road and now is wealthy. So you see, when your intent is right and you have obeyed it long enough to be released by God on your own accomplishments, as they say, you can run, race. Well, I'm ready to race if you're not. Just try to follow me and Muhammad the Prophet, because we are not going anywhere without money. I'm telling you, we'll just be right here in the crib until we're finished. And I believe Allah wants us to do this. Allah wants us to get into the productive idleness of this world. Get in there. If anybody should be looking for money, it should be the people that don't have it. It's as simple as that. If you don't have any money, you ought to be trying to get some. End quote, Imam W.S.G. Muhammad. Now, as I conclude, before I pray, let's see, I had some. Oh, I want to share this with you. In the book that I read to you last week, or read from, Slaves in America, the documentary this month, the Montgomery Slave Trade. And Raheem is pulling the book up, or where you can get this book. Now, you can get this book, the Legacy Museum. They should have some probably coming in on order, the Legacy Museum out of Montgomery, in Montgomery, Alabama. So listen to this. of the United States of America that's online, Facebook, YouTube, StreamYard, Do My Promise Line, America Muslims 360, Religion and Slavery. In this book, in the Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama, listen, quote, when slavery began in North America in the 17th century, the lands that would become the United States were colonies held by the British. And British law, those you know this, forbade the enslavement of Christians. I repeat that. British law, that the colonies were under, before the United States in America, forbade the enslavement of Christians. Most Africans practice Islam. You couldn't enslave the Christians. They don't practice it. Slave the Christians. So most Africans then practice Islam or their African folk religion. And as Christian missionaries set out to convert enslaved Africans in the colony, British slave owners worried that they would lose their enslaved property if the Africans were no longer seen as non-Christian people. So they considered the Muslims as heathens, the people with the culture as heathens. This film was realized in 1656 when Elizabeth Peace, the daughter of an enslaved black woman and a white Englishman, successfully sued for her and her child's freedom, now arguing that her Christianity should steal her from enslavement. I hope you all will listen to this around the country. Our ancestors that they put on those slaves is the great majority of them were oppressed. Trying to religion because it was against Christianity to enslave the Christians. And they want us to believe that they brought us here, we were Christians. It was against no problem. Oh, I know. Hey! Are they going to teach me in school? They didn't teach me in sin. Then I know you didn't get it in Gilbert. You didn't try to get that in Gilbert. Not in school. They didn't tell us that the slaves were Muslim. So we started embracing Islam. Oh, you're going against your religion. Whoa, wait a minute. Hold up. My ancestors were Muslim according to the Gilbert. The museum said that. I read that at those, Slavery was to survive. Religious teaching was left to the death. In 1654-65, a British minister named Richard Baxter published a treatise about encouraging slave owners to convert the enslaved to Christianity. So if they were trying to convert to Christianity, they were not Christians. And arguing that slavery was a righteous institution that allowed for the saving of African souls without requiring their freedom. Really? He told his Puritan readers that slavery has been beneficial. Here, that recently in Florida. Slavery was beneficial. You see, it's old information. He borrowed from Lilith. Racist people. He told his Puritan readers that slavery was beneficial to African people and paved the way for white people to buy, sell, and abuse African people while maintaining a Christian quote unquote identity. Combat compatible laws to follow. One message. In 1667, the colony of Virginia did not exempt enslaved black people from politics. In other words, we don't care if y'all Christians. You're going to work to feed them. I'm reading it. Colony of Virginia declared Christian baptism. Didn't exist. eBay, Jonathan. Heard that language somewhere here recently. It's to share Christianity with the risk of false emancipation. Where's the Christian? I let it go. And later on, further restricted. You brothers and sisters out there, listen how to play this game against us. Later on, further restricted black Christians' religious practice and barred interracial worship service. After the colonies won independence and established the United States of America, these laws only became stronger. End quote. All right? Now, to that end, I have something prepared for you, and I'll just make sure everybody gets if they like to have it on the way out the door. I'm getting ready to make it a lot. I put together a book list. I mentioned this to you last week. 35 must-have books, if you want to, African-American history. These are what I call foundational books. It's 100 of them, actually, but I'm giving you 35 at a time. But if you purchase, if you get most of these online, I'm going to buy books. If you purchase these 35 books for your library, your children, your grandchildren, you don't need anybody else to teach you about African-American history. You'll have it with the 35 books that I put on. It covers all of it, back to Africa, in America, and Afghanistan. And I included and added, just read about Muslims, Muslim American slaves, the life of Omar ibn Said. That's on the book list. Now, who was this? Omar ibn Said was born to a rich, wealthy family in West Africa, around 1770, he was abducted and sold into slavery in the United States, where he came to the attention of a prominent North Carolina family. So now, this is about our rich brother, rich family, Omar ibn Said, and the masjid in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I've been there many times. His name, Masjid Omar ibn Said, in honor of our Muslim brother, who maintained his Islamic identity all the way throughout slavery. And here's another book by him before the list. I Cannot Write My Life, Islam, Arabic, and Slavery in Omar ibn Said's America, Islamic Civilization and Muslim Network. Okay? And the last one I'm going to mention to you, Five Classes, Muslim Slave Narrative. This is a book. So it's on your book list. You get this. So not only are we learning about African and African-American history, because there's some books on there about Africa, okay, for folk reasons. The African presence in early America, Abu Bakr, Prince of Slaves, the prince that was in Massachusetts, Dr. Rahman. That's on your book list, all of it, right? So not only are we sharing information about African-American history, but we're bringing to light what the legacy of Museum brought to light in Montgomery, Alabama. Most of the people that were brought here to America were Muslim. Now, isn't that how? So when you come and say, you want to make the Shahada stand, supposed to be all around the country, you say, I want to embrace Al-Islam, it's something working in your soul. Some memory in the subconscious. What's his name? He calls it the genetic, Islamic genetic memory. Think Dr. Thierry's name. That the African Americans in America possess an Islamic genetic memory. So when we heard Allah, Al-Islam, Muhammad, Quran, it awakened something in our soul. Our Lord grant us the best that this life that this world has to offer us, and grant us the best that the next life and the next world has to offer us, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sin. And O Allah, out of your mercy, please reduce and eliminate this gun violence in these United States of America. And Allah, we beseech of you to bring peace for the Palestinians. That means the promised land. Those of you all joining us on our streaming platform, if you're on the East Coast and the Central Time Zone, you can join us for our friends. I say this every week because we have new people every week. If you're on the West Coast, you can also join us for the live, but I'm sure you're aware that when your press time comes in, then you have to perform to fill that at that time. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فاستغفر بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك
Dear listeners, assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, and we're thankful to have Imam Yahya Abdullah, the khatib, for today in the month of January. We had Imam Abdul Qawi Aziz, and February Imam Yahya Abdullah. Now we're going to join, if it's okay with everyone, those on the second schedule, with Imam Abdul Qawi Aziz, as they start at 1:30. So please stay with us. Share your Juma. Alhamdulillah. One moment.
Muted.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amma ba'd. And my beloved brothers and sisters, that translation is the praises for Allah alone. We ask him for his help, and we ask him for his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our own actions. Whosoever Allah guides, never will he or she go astray. And whosoever goes astray, then for him or her, there is not a God besides Allah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. The prayers and peace be on him, and everything of excellence indigenous to this salutation follows. So to my beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa jumma mubarak. Alhamdulillah. It is always a pleasure to gather together with you in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our responsibility and our duty to Allah and ourselves. So today, we thought that it would be befitting to have this discussion with respect to direction to the sacred house, the directions to the sacred house. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah 246, by verse 12, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa min qablihi kitabu Musa إماما ورحمة والحدال كتاب مصادق لسانا أربيا لينذر الذين ظلموا وبشرى للمؤمنين صدق الله الدين. Certainly Allah has spoken the truth. And we have, as a translation, and before this was the book of Moses as a guide and a mercy. And this book confirms it in the Arabic tongue to admonish the unjust and as glad tidings to those who do right. Alhamdulillah. So, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are experiencing a situation where we have to be able to interpret the translation for the best thereof, for the best thereof. So what this tells me is that we must look analytically at this verse to measure the great wealth of knowledge and wisdom contained in this verse. The translator says, before this was the book of Moses. Before this is how he translated وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ كِتَابُ مُوسَى. That's how he translated. From before this was the book of Moses. Now, the translator says, before this was the book of Moses. The Arabiya says, from before him That's the literal Arabic. From before him was the book of Moses. He, the translator, translated qablihi as before this. As before this. I'm not saying this is to say what I'm saying to disqualify the translator or the translation. That's not my intention. That's not what I'm attempting to do or want to do. I'm doing so to be sure we don't cut ourselves short when it comes to seeing all that is available to us for the fullest and best understanding. So I know that Hada is this, T-H-I-S. That's not in the Arabic, right? Hada is not there, right? So this, we said this when we're referring to something near Hada. Hada is this, and this is near me, right? Dalika is that, T-H-A-T, and it's referring to something that is a distance from me, all right? So in the translation, what there is, Dalika is not there, Hada is not there. It says, Qablihi, all right? And he translated it as before this. Okay. So in the translation, there is a masculine pronoun to refer to something. Qablihi, the he is the possessive form of the masculine pronoun he or him. Okay? Third person. All right. So the masculine pronoun is referring to something. What is that? What is that something? What is the something that it's referring to? The pronoun who, right, is used to refer to a thing, and it is also used to refer to the masculine gender, he or him, all right? I can assure you there are some things that do not have genders. Yes, in that respect, not as humans have gender. The point being made here is who or what is this, T-H-I-S, or the that, T-H-A-T, being a reference here as something that preexisted the book of Moses. We have to ask ourselves, what is this? What is being referred to here? In thinking about that question, be mindful of the fact that it did not say Moses. Instead, it said the book of Moses. Now, we have to factor in that. The book of Moses. Is that different from Moses? And if so, how so? Did the book of Moses precede Moses? Or should we see Moses as something separate and apart from his book? Qablihi, before him, is masculine, third person singular. So, min qablihi, from before him. From before him, in the English language, when we say it, unless there is a precise gender attached to it, then it usually is neutral. Yeah, that's it right there. That's it right there. Yeah, that's not there. That's it. Okay, so is it feminine or is it masculine? What function is it? What function is it playing? Right? What function is it acting out of? What gender is it acting out of? All right. So, you know, most time we don't think of giving inanimate objects, genders like we do for animated objects, right? We do not think of a book as being he or she or him or her. I'm confident that it can be read as from before him was the book of Moses as an imam, which is a masculine noun. Imam is masculine. So the pronoun to match imam is also masculine. He's him, the imam. But yeah, brother, it says book. I know exactly what it says. And the book that's being referenced, Al-Kitab, it also has a masculine gender. So when the Quran says, أَنْزَلَنَاهُ Quran, أَنْزَلَنَاهُ Quran, and we send him down as a Quran. Yes. That means Muhammad is the Quran, and the Quran is Muhammad. Alayhi salam. So the book of Moses was before whose book? It was before the book of Muhammad, alayhi salam. Which means Moses came as a book before Muhammad. Then we have to better understand what the book is. I'm not talking about some pages with some cover over it, exclusively referring to that. That is included. That is included. That book was an imam out front. The imam was out front. So that book was an imam out front as the recitation for the people before Muhammad, alayhi salam. Yes. Oh, yes. He was an imam and a mercy, and his language was a confirmation of the reality of the time in which they endured. The language, dear people, the language itself was all-encompassing and very descriptive. It was designed to address the irregularities of their time in which they lived. The Quran categorically states, Lisan Arabiya. Lisan Arabiya. But the truth is, I don't know if they spoke Arabic dialectically as it is spoken now. Huh? But at the same time, when it says Lisan Arabiya, is that the language, the tongue, the Arabic tongue, or the Arabic language. When it say that, I don't think that it is pointing to the dialect of any particular Arabic that is spoken now, because the Quranic Arabic is the mother, Arabiya Fusha. It is the mother of all the dialects of Arabic. In fact, the mother of Semitic languages. However, I don't exclusively see the Arabic language as vocal communication or speech in that way. No, I don't. I see it as much more than that. Musa Adakun is the clarity confirming the reality of the time, which is the natural language of creation. Yes, it's greater in capacity to something that is contained in a physical book that we say is the Quran. Yeah. It addresses the reality, okay? It addresses the reality of the time in which, a time in a way that cannot be denied or ignored. That's why it is Musadakun. It is very clear in terms of what is being said, what is being addressed. It's very timely. Now, the Arabic language is the language that is consistent with all of the other expressions to show its validity in order that it can and will, dear people, be used to warn those who, for some reason, find a way to disbelieve or deposit their trust in other than God, to deposit their trust in something other than God and what he has given us as a means of surety. So at the same time, that language is a language of good news, confirming for those who are pursuing the course that is expressive of the obedience that is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That is for those, dear people, that is for those who value the goodness of sincerity. The language itself, the language is for these times in which we live. You know, we have a way of saying, we like to say, you know, no. The language, if you may have W.D. Muhammad. So I prefer that language because that language is more expressive of the time in which we live and the understanding that we need to derive so that we can be functional in these times. Right? Yeah, that language, the best language, a language that is current, right? With the times. It can express what is happening in the times. It is a corrective, it is corrective mechanics for a life that is seeking and rejoicing in its failure to find its way to the best place in its reality. At the same time, it complements those who give themselves to what is right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, he says, "Inna ma'al usri yusra," right? And fa'idha faragata fansab wa ila rabbika al-faragab. Sadaqallahu al-Din. Allah has spoken the truth. Translation is, verily, with every difficulty there is relief. Therefore, when thou art free from thine immediate task, still labor hard, and to thy Lord turn all thy attention. Translation. Okay, so, dear people, yes, life is not always easy. If life is easy and there is any misappropriation of the appreciation for it, Remember, the difficulties are on standby just in case you lose sight of God's favor. Yes, that means difficulty comes with this mate, which is ease or relief. You know, difficulty is the opposite of that. Right? Yes. And vice versa. The translator says, with every difficulty there is relief, as to say, neither difficulty nor relief comes exclusively by itself. They can only come as a unit. Only Allah is singular. Everything else has a mate. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides in the finality which one reaches you based upon what you have earned with regard to your interaction with the member of the unit of duality. You interact with the character or the member of that duality. If you understand what I'm saying, I can have up and I can have down. If my behavior is given to something and to someone to be down, then I'm not going to have up. I'm not going to be up because my life and everything expressing it says that it should be down, or vice versa. Right? If I'm down and I'm doing the right things to lift my life up, I'm going to go up. Those are the duality. But listen to the duality of events that come in early on this verse. There's a dual dynamics that exist there. Have we not expanded for you your breast? Right? Have we not expanded for you your breast? Remove from you your burden. Right? All right? There's a series of things that's going on there. Now, in this expression, the lifting of a burden has a lot to do with expanding the breast. Yes. Then, does one have to do with the other? Really? What is expanding the breast? This has nothing to do with the mammary gland, except for association as an allegory. Sadaraka, 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 right? Is your breast. The language is mostly archaic, or old European English. We know the expansion of the breast is when the milk ducts enlarge from the buildup of breast milk. All right? So it's borrowing from that allegory. It's borrowing from that dynamic. In order for that to happen, there has to exist the capacity. There has to be a capacity. Increase my capacity to achieve the necessity. Right? Yes. And we're not going to be long today, inshallah. So what is the necessity here? What is the necessity here? The necessity here is to achieve the capacity to obtain the fundamental objective. Once you have achieved the objective, then still work with the same intensity to achieve the greater benefit for the challenge that will come tomorrow. Why? Because you have to get home. You're in transit. You're journeying through this life, and you have to get home. Home is the best place. It's the safest place for you. This world has a lot of problematic conditions. This world is very delusional and illusionary. To be eligible for that achievement, dear people, give your full attention to your Lord and what he has advised you of. Why? Because in that advice is your direction. Allah has given you direction. Say, look, man, no. I gave it to you, and you fell. Did you read the direction? Did you read the direction? No, I didn't read. That's your problem. Because the product works. You don't know how to operate it. You did not read the direction. All right? All right? So did you follow the direction? No, I didn't. So how can you get to the place to be if you didn't follow the directions? The direction. Will take you to the sacred house. If you follow them, it will take you to the sacred house. We'll come back on the second part to try and put it all together, inshallah. Put it all together. Because, again, we're reading stuff. And we say, yo, you know, we read the Quran. Did you really read the Quran, or did you just read the translation of the Quran, right? Or you read some translation that warranted interpretation, but you did not provide it. So we have to think about what it is that best explains for us the directions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to us so that we can find ourselves, we can find the destination, we can find the human destiny, we can be at the place that we should be. And we spend a whole lifetime to get there. We could be at that place if we would follow the directions. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Allah, we have wronged our own soul. And if we are not forgiven and shown mercy, surely we will be among the losers. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد. The praise with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The praise is for Allah alone. We witness His oneness, and we witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger, on whom be the prayers and the peace. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His Quran, He says, Qad narra taqalluba wajhi qal fi sama'is falinu liyannaka kiblatan tarda fawallil wajhakal shatral مسجد الحرم والحية ما كنتم فوالوا وجهاكم شطره وإن الذين أوتوا الكتاب لا يعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وما الله بغافل عمل يعملون صدق الله الدين. Certainly Allah has clearly spoken the truth. And translation is that we see the turning of thy face for guidance to the heavens. Now shall we turn thee to a Qibla that shall please thee. Turn then thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Wherever you are, turn your faces in that direction. The people of the book now, the people of the book know well that that is the truth from their Lord. Nor is Allah unmindful of what they do. Okay. So, my beloved friends, take a look with me at this verse 144 of Suratul Al-Baqarah. We see you turning your face, your character, right? Your human essence, your character, right? You're turning everything that is crucial to you, seeking the way out and away from misery. The character is indicative of searching for the ideal direction, the face. The face is a representation of the character, the human character, that is seeking the ideal direction. And information in pursuit of the human destiny. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that Qibla, which is the direction, we said the direction of prayer, right? The Qibla is the direction of prayer. The direction in which you turn for prayer. If that is the direction in which you turn for prayer, then what is the prayer? Can you have prayer without turning in that direction? That means the direction for the life. Your life is the prayer, and the prayer is your life. Yes. That's why you have to turn to the Qibla for the prayer, right? Now, this is separate from dua. I'm talking about prayer. He has given you the best direction of how to pursue the destiny. The best mode of travel is to turn your face, your human character, with the direction he has given you. You know how I said that. I didn't say in the direction that he has given you. I say with the direction he has given you. He has given you the directions to follow to get home. But keep in mind, the Qibla is feminine. It is feminine in its gender. Yes. Yes. So, Allah says he will turn you to a Qibla that will facilitate your journey to reach the best of yourself. Yes. You have to turn to the Qibla. You cannot do it without turning to that Qibla, right? And we say Qibla is the direction. You have to turn in that direction. You have to turn in the direction of the member of yourself. And when the members of yourself, community of yourself, when they accept your leadership, then that direction, the Qibla, That direction will facilitate your journey to reach the best of yourself. Now, at this particular point, I'd like to say to you that there's a very beautiful sister that lives in Clearwater, Florida, very instrumental in the establishment of Islam in this area from the days of the Nation of Islam. My wife and I, we had just gotten back from Hajj, and I was speaking with her, and I told her, I said, yeah, you know, we just got back from Hajj. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I always wanted to go. And I looked at her and I told her, I said, sister, from what I know about you, you have already made the Hajj. And she looked at me with the look that told me that she understood what I was saying. You have already made the Hajj. Right? You're already turned in that direction. You've already turned in that direction. Right? She didn't have to go to Mecca, Arabia, to make the Hajj. No. That's a replica of where we all should be headed. Allah has put that as a symbol of where we all should be headed. The Qibla will facilitate your journey to reach the best of yourself. So the feminine element of yourself, the human sensitivity, if that is not cooperating with you, if it is not showing you as a direction to the best of yourself, then you have problems. You have difficulties because you're not all on the same page. You as yourself is not all on the same page. You need the Qibla to go there. You need the directions that Allah has provided for you to arrive at the sacred house. He said in the process of that facilitation, he removed from you that which did weigh down your back. That will surely cause a problem to stand upright, wouldn't it? Yeah, your back is all weighed down. The removal from your back came with the capacity to expand your breast. Yes. The removal for what was on your back weighing you down came with the capacity to expand your breast. That which was burdening you and interfered with your ability to stand at your highest point. Your breast, your chest. That is your capacity, right? I need a capacity to take in more oxygen, right? So when I breathe in, it's going to expand my breast, my chest. So when I take in what Allah has given me as his direction, as his Qibla, is going to expand for me my breath, and it's going to allow me to stand more upright. That which is burdening you and interfering with your ability to stand at your highest point, he removed the dead weight from your back. Yes, he removed the dead weight from your back. Now your travel, now your journey can be much easier, much more facilitated, less burdensome. It was nothing more than you, the one carrying the worthless part of yourself that you did not want to part with, that caused your problem on this journey. He removed it because it galled down your back. The part of you that has a fixation on a life that will take you in the opposite direction, a direction away from Masjid al-Haram, the sacred house, the place that protects you from all that is wrong about the journey. No, this is not catching a 747 to Mecca, Arabia, Saudi. No. The sacred house is inside of you. It is within you. It is the best place in your life. It is the most sacred place in your life. That is the place of yourself where you invite Allah into. We have this, we have this saying, Baytullah, right? The house of Allah. Well, what house is Allah dwelling in? Is it that brick and mortar over there, or is it in your own soul that you have made suitable for the presence of Allah? Yes. So no matter where you are in this life, dear people, take the initiative to turn your human character or your face toward that house, toward that house. The one that is oversensitive to what is wrong about what has been affixed to your life. Listen, we say all roads lead to Mecca. That's a saying, right? All roads lead to Mecca. All roads lead to Mecca. So no matter where you are standing in the life, no matter where you are positioned in the life, your direction of travel in the direction to the best place in your own life, that place in your own life where you invite Allah to exist, to dwell. That is your most sacred house. And that is the place of your journey. That is where you're headed in the life, dear people, in the life. You have to have a place that is the best place for your existence. A place that is free from the adulteration of the world around you. Yes. And no matter what level of success or dysfunctional failure you have encountered, turn your face toward that house as a guide to find the best of yourself. Yes. Yes. So, all roads really do lead to Mecca. No matter where you are in the life, you can turn towards that sacred house. No matter where you are in the life, you can turn toward that sacred house. No matter where you are coming from or headed to, those roads can take you to Masjid al-Haram. I'm talking about the most sacred place in your own life, the place in your own life that you work to make it sacred, clean, and upright, the place where you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your own life, if you want to go there. If you have no excuse for not going, then any road will lead you there. I'm sure the people, you know that I'm referencing the ritual of Hajj. To go to Mecca physically is not the only way to make the Hajj. The same is with the prayer, right? It is said that you can make the prayer standing, sitting, or lying down. That is a way of saying to you that the prayer goes beyond the ritualistic movement of traditions. And so it is with Hajj in the practical sense. Strive as in a race for all that which is good, with your face turned toward the goal of what God, of what comes next. Now, that, know that what we have as scripture is a confirmation of what came before it. Right? Yeah, it's a confirmation of what came before it. What are you talking about? Min Kitabu Musa, right? From before the book of Moses, or from the book of Muhammad, right? Yes. Know that what we have as scripture is a confirmation of what came before, dear people. It is nothing more than the direction of how to get back home. And your home is the sacred house. Rabna la tuzuki lubina baida hadithina wa habdina minna dunka rahmata innaka intal wahab. Our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after our guidance, and grant us from your presence mercy, and surely you are the most liberal of all the granters.
Unmuted.
Igamatis Salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salat, hayya al-salat. Hayya al-salat, hayya al-salat. Qad qamat as-salat, qad qamat as-salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله الحمد لله يا الله سبحانه وتعالى We intend to make two rakats of Salat al-Jumma Fard ما شاء الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم مكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لا ترون إلم يقين لا ترون جهين ثم لا ترون إن يقين لا ترون جهين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلى الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصل بالحق وتواصل بالصبر الله أكبر سامي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الله سبحانه وتعالى We witness your oneness and the prophethood of Muhammad last. We seek your mercy. We seek your protection. We seek your guidance. We seek forgiveness for our sin. We seek your help. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. And we thank you for the good and the excellence that you have bestowed upon us. It is you alone that we surrender ourselves to in obedience. It is you alone that we trust with our lives. So continue to give to us loved ones, family members, and offspring who will consciously and willingly come to this place of surrender now and forward to the future. And oh Allah, we ask that you plant firmly our feet on this path of Sirat al-Mustaqim and let us not die unless we are Muslim. Oh Allah, we will surely accept your direction to the sacred house. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Praise be to Allah. We'll make the surah Tatsuna now and we'll come back to the question and answer platform.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. And now we're going to go right over to Imam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our two khatibs today. As Imam Yahya Abdullah and Imam Abdul Tawi Aziz, both of Florida, Imam Yahya in Jacksonville, Florida, and Imam Abdul Tawi Aziz of the Tampa Bay area, Florida. Actually, he's specifically in Valrico, Florida. Now, we're going to go on to hear our presentation from Imam Warsuddin Mohammed, Rahimullah Alayh. Just one moment. And we're going to the one that says in Riverside or Riverview. There were two choices there. One was Florida and the other was Riverview. Or Riverside, excuse me. One moment here. Okay. All right, and this is for about an hour, so we pray that our time will extend to that. Please enjoy. It would just be the part one. All right. And this was in Harlem, New York, Riverside Park, Harlem, New York, 2006.
Imam W.D. And God made him know his calling eventually.
And when he separated from Pharaoh, the trouble started for him and his people. They were already in bondage, not Moses, because he was sent where he could be free with Pharaoh. But once he rejected Pharaoh, then he was in the same situation with his people. And God guided him over a long period of time. He was guided, and finally, his people were delivered. They were free from bondage, and they were free to have their own life and their own establishment, their own culture, their own life, their own establishment. And I don't think God intends less for us. Not all of us, but God has blessed a few of us with a religion, Islam. That is our heritage. And I hope you understand this, some of you do. Islam is our heritage, our natural heritage. It is not only our heritage by history. History says that many of us were Muslims when we were brought over here as slaves. I have pictures from the newspapers that my father saved showing slaves with a turban on, Moroccan style turban on, being sold on the auction block once they were brought here to these shores. So we know there's much proof that many of us were Muslims. So if we have an African heritage that we want to not lose, isn't it much more important to not lose our Islamic heritage? So this is not just a religion for us, our conversion for us. This is the opportunity for many who had their heritage taken away by force to live in the life that they were in before, to return to the life that they were in before. That's according to history, according to the teachings of the Quran, God, and according to the teachings of Muhammad, his message, servant and messenger. Every human being is born a Muslim. Now, by that definition, in Islam, for Muslims, you should say, Islam is my nature. Islam is my natural rights. Islam is my inheritance. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense to Einstein, to Dr. DuBois, and to a fool half insane locked up in an institution. Now, if that makes sense to you, you ain't with what is right. Praise be to Allah. Yes. Now, I want to have just a comment or two before giving you my presentation for this time, for this occasion. This community is making me so happy. I'm sorry. Everywhere I go, where I go now, almost, just about everywhere I go, I may see something, you know, looking sloppy, and like it's half dead or dead. But everywhere I go, I see bright eyes, bright spirit, dignified people going after class. And that makes me so happy. I don't know if you all know me, and it's hard to know me, because I will take off class and put on a raw man's dress to get where I think we have to go. I'll do that. And I'll be just as happy in the raw as I would be all dressed up in class, as long as I know we are making progress going where we have to go. That's me. You all know me, many of you know me as a religious man. That's wonderful. I want to be known, firstly, as a religious man. But religious man in Islam is not always religious man in other religions, especially Christianity. And Christianity is African-American or black people style. A religious man in Islam is a man like Muhammad, the model for all Muslims and all mankind, really, according to our scriptures. And Muhammad was a businessman before he was the prophet of God. Muhammad was a rounded man. Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he was seen sweeping floors, helping his wife clean up the house. He was seen shopping for his own food in the market. So why should I be different if I represent the office of Muhammad the prophet? If I represent his office and every man that claims to follow the Quran and his tradition, you are representing, whether you know it or not, the office of the prophet, Prophet Muhammad. So if I am representing his office, shouldn't I be like him? If I don't have that nature, I should pray to God and try to take on that nature, where I can be comfortable sweeping floors, comfortable going shopping in the market for my own things. We can't say we follow him and then reject his lifestyle. He didn't have the lifestyle of those who love pomp and glitter of the world. That was not him. He was far from that. But he was not the kind of leader to impose his taste on other people. And then God said, understand that Muhammad began with few powerful people as his companions. God blessed him to have a few powerful people as his companions before he became a prophet. So when he became a prophet, they remained his companions, and they were the best of the people to follow him. Like the Khalifa, Abu Bakr, we call them Khalifas now. Like his companions, the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Ali, Uthman, Omar. Great men. He blessed him with those men. But the majority of followers were poor people. The poor. I don't know if you've heard the story or seen the movie about Alibaba and the 40 thieves. The ones who wrote that story, they were looking at Muhammad the Prophet. And Alibaba is supposed to be Muhammad the Prophet. And the 40 thieves means his followers. So this is a criticism. This is a nakedness thing. This is the ridicule of our prophet and his followers, his first followers, Alibaba and the 40 thieves. But at least they had to tell the truth about his purpose. He went out to get riches. If you saw this movie, Alibaba and the 40 thieves, or if you heard or don't know the story, he was not out to get riches. He was out to help those who were oppressed by the rich. And he did help. He took from the rich and gave it to the poor. And that's what Zakat does. And the leader that followed Muhammad, he said, I will go to war with you if you do not give Zakat. That's what he said. May peace be upon the companion of the prophet Abu Bakr. He was a mild man, but he said, I'll go to war with you if you refuse to give zakat. Now that was right after the prophet had been among them, walking and talking and living and working for them. What do you think happened over a period of centuries now? What do you think the people are doing now? They have left Islam, and they're calling themselves Muslims. All over the world, they have left Islam. Very few Muslims in the Muslim world. Very few are leaders. Muslim leaders are in the Muslim world. The great majority of them have left Islam and are living like their ancestors were before Islam came, living like thugs, gangsters, con men, oppressors, etc. That's the state of the Islamic world. Not coming from me, this is what they say about themselves. And what I know about them, I study them. Yes. So, this is not the only negative I have to bring you here today. One learned imam that I admire so much, I pray for him. I pray for Muhammad, the prophet first, and then after him, I pray for this man. And this man told, old man told me once, he said, Wallace, you know, the beginning of our religion is a negative. See, we have to say a negative before we say a positive. It begins with la, no. Ilaha illallah, no God but God. It begins with a negative, to establish a power, to bring in a positive. And God is my witness, I'm going to bring you there. I'm going to come from the negative. But I'm coming from the negative so that we can be more positive. Praise to Allah. Now, let me congratulate you who hosted this, for the man who hosted this event. And the organizers and planners and organizers who initiated it, and the beautiful and beautifully clothed models that have given us this wonderful fashion show today. I don't know how they look without these dollars, but in these dollars, they look pretty enough for me to follow home. You see that? That's crude. I'm glad I still got a little crudeness in my retirement. I don't have any truth that's in my retirement, I won't be a complete human being. My God is my witness. I've never pursued anyone that I didn't marry. God is my witness. And I'm afraid of marriage, so desire is here, sisters, but I won't be following you home. I have nothing to be ashamed of. I was once threatened by somebody. They say, well, you want me to go public with this? Trying to get me to do something, wanted me to do that, that I shouldn't have done, and I didn't want to do. I said, go public anytime you want. I said, get on the 6 o'clock news and let me know in advance so I can be watching it. I said, you help yourself. No, it came back to me on me. No, sir. I won't do a thing if I'm not ashamed. If I'm ashamed to face the people, I'm not going to do it. Because the people's wrath is also God's wrath. God's wrath is through the people and through your own nature. Yeah. So I know not to do anything that'll bring the wrath of the people on me. But if I do that, you won't see me. If I have fall to that level where I'm that weak, you won't see me, I'll be gone. Say, well, he's missing. You don't know whether he's dead or alive, but he's been missing. Long time. Yes. So I want you to first know a little something about me. But I think I should tell you a little something about my father first, that many of you don't know. The first restaurant that the community had, the Nation of Islam had, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad opened it, and he managed it, and he made it successful. My father, and believe in you, admire so much and love so much, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The first grocery store we had was opened, managed, and made successful by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The first butcher we had was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he told us, he said, I went to the market, and I told them, I said, if you will show me how to make the meat cut, I got a following, and we will do big business with you. He said, the farmer said, no problem. Said he got, put the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on an apron, and then showed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the cuts of the meat, the cow. And showed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the chop, all the meat, and then demonstrated to Honorable Elijah Muhammad how to make those cuts. And he gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the chop that he was teaching him from. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad took the chop and hung it up into the facility that he had bought. With our money, because this was the community, Honorable Elijah Muhammad was supported by a few wonderful people. He didn't have an outside job. He didn't have to, because he didn't have to have any work outside or try to get money from somebody, or Arabs or somebody. He didn't have to do that, because the pioneers loved him so much, they would give him everything they had, and even suffer if they had to. But they wouldn't suffer. They suffered only the loss of money and the loss of the convenience to have certain things. But they didn't suffer. They were so happy doing that. Happy doing that. That's the kind of followers he was blessed with. And a man that would lead the people the way he led the people deserved those followers. Why didn't you tell us those things when you were back there telling us that he was wrong? Because I first had to tell you he was wrong to break his grip on you.
Right.
So I could take you where you had to go. Right. It wasn't my pleasure to tell you anything bad about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That was never my pleasure. It was what I had to do. Now that it's over, we should lift him up. Because he was much more a Muslim than he was not. He was a believer and a courageous believer. If he had had the knowledge that God left me to have, there would have been no need for me. You hear me? That man should have done it. So I miss him now. I wish he was with me. So I say, all right, Muhammad, you can whip ass. And I don't like doing it. Nothing could deter him. Nothing could turn him around. The world threats of putting him in jail. The FBI. Nothing could turn that man around. Suffering, imprisonment, suffering the lack of the goods of this world because his followers were extremely poor in the beginning, 30s and 40s. And the 50s too. Change only came in the middle half, the last half of 55 and on up. Change, big change came. Yeah, but nothing could change him. Big shouts coming from across the water. They question him on what he's teaching. They sit there. He said, brother, you just don't understand. Nothing could turn that man around. Now, if he hadn't been that kind of man, we wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. Yeah. So, now that we are over the troubled waters, and we're on the land where we can see what God wants us to do with our lives, I want you to know my Father. When the 60s came, and he was getting old, he said, we have to make a material choice so our people will come to us. So he went after material things. And to get the material things, he knew he had to have men who wanted the material things. So the leadership changed from humble, spiritual, God-fearing, God-loving people. That's what we were in the 40s, in the 30s, in the 40s, in most of the 50s. To those who want the fancy things of the world. He pretended to be pleased with them because he needed to use them to get his material work done. I came from out of prison myself after doing about 14 months in Bastogne, Minnesota. For what same thing he got 5 years straight for? And he did it 5 years, including the jail time. He actually was locked up for 5 years. So I came out, and when I saw this new group of leaders, this is negative, I told you, but for the sake of having more positive in this community, not for the sake of negative, no. I looked at them, I said, wow. These people are different. This is not the same nation of Islam. They had big ring kind of rings on their fingers, long leather coats, long fur coats. Not just the ministers, but also their wives. Well, I can't tell you everything. I was successful only because God accepted me for my goodness and my intent. And also being the son, not just the son, but I have to say, the favorite or the favored son of the Almighty God. Yes, I was favored to be named after the man he called God in the flesh, Wallace D. Muhammad. We got postcards from his teacher right now, where his teacher signed. Wallace D. Didn't even put Muhammad. Wallace D. All he got on the postcards, Wallace D. And sometimes he put W.D. and F. on Farrar. W.D. Farrar. That's how he signed his correspondence to my mother, to my father, and to my father's brother, Talat, who was Supreme Captain in the time of Farrar. He sent them cards. And I didn't ask for those cards. My cousin, the son of my Uncle Kalam, brought me cards that his father had and showed them to him. And my mother, before she passed, she said, son, I want you to have him, and she gave me some comfort from him. And one of the cards, I'll tell you exactly what it said. It said, sister, the new child has come. The new delivery, something like that, has come. I can't remember exactly what it was. A new child, a new baby, a new delivery. It wasn't baby. But he said, has come. I know that. And he said, you promised to name him, give him, you promised to give him my name. That take good care of him. That's what he said. This is the teacher of my father, writing this on a card to my mother. And that was not the only card he sent, asking about me and telling her how to take care of him. Now, my father was in prison. My mother took me to see him maybe two or three times. I know two times. He was in prison in Milan, Michigan. Milan, Federal Correction Institution. Prison. Federal jail. Federal prison. And one time, she came to me and she said, Wallace, your father said something from the Quran and he wants me to read it to you. And she read it to me. And he said that he wants me to give it to you, as she gave it to me, the paper that it was on. And it was Luqman's advice to his son. And look, the words from Luqman, the chapter Luqman, advising his son. I won't give it all to you to save time. I'm just going to give you the part that was for me, that he gave to me. If anyone strives with you to get you to believe of me, this is God speaking, that for which you have no knowledge space, don't obey them. But your parents, keep good company with them in the world. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Strong against shirk, or false worship. But putting the mother up high. That if your mother wants you to believe something that's wrong or good, don't follow it if you have a knowledge that's against what she's telling you. But still, keep good company with her in the world. Oh, I could love that God, I'm telling you. If I could love that God as a human being, I would be kissing him eternally. Feet and all. I'd be kissing him eternally. I wouldn't have no time to do anything but kiss him eternally. That's what my love is for God. A God like that. Yes. So I was given that as a child, and I'm a small child. I was younger than my son here. This is the youngest of our children. He's sitting here now, Muhammad. He looks small, so he's 10 years old. He'll be 11 July 6th, pretty soon. And I'm going to have a nice birthday present for you, Muhammad. All right. He'll be 6, 11 pretty soon. Praise you, God. And so I was younger than he is, maybe about 5 years or so. But I recall that very vividly. As though it just happened yesterday, I recall my mother giving me that. Now that came from my father. His teacher said those things about me to my mother to take care of me. How could a child not love a man that was a stranger, came from another country, but came and talked to my father and won my father's heart, won my mother's heart, taught my mother how to cook himself. You know, my mother was taught by Mr. Swan himself how to cook the food that we used to eat and that many of us still eat. Brown rice and all that, bean soup and all that. He taught my mother himself. He was in the kitchen. He's the one that taught my mother. So how can a son not love that person that did that? And a father who's locked up and sent a son by the hand of his mother, words like I shared with you, do not follow your parents. That's how it goes in Luqman. It says, if your parents strive with you to have you associate with me, that if you have no knowledge base, don't follow them, but keep good company with them in the world. That means for the rest of their life, as long as they live it, you're supposed to keep good company with them. That's a wonderful God. Now, my father said that to me. Don't you know I have to be thankful to him? Don't you know that that endeared me to him more than anything else that he had done? Because actually, I didn't have a father in my house until I was 13 years old. No father in my house, except through my mother, or with my mother. And believe me, she kept him more present than he could have been if he was there physically. When he came and started living with us after imprisonment, we had it easy. Yeah, he was mild. She didn't have to enforce the law for him, you know. He was there, you know. And she didn't have to, she could relax a little bit. I said a little bit. She was still, as she said, I'll put the skin off your bone. She was still to be feared. Though he was there, milder man, much milder human being, much milder human being. Yes. So I'm sharing this with you so you can see better. Me. If you see me better, then you can accept me better. I'm not after money. I've never been. And I want you to know my father was not after money except for a cause. He never did. I've seen the ring, I saw a fancy diamond pin on his tie once. And he was conscious of me and I was conscious of him. When he noticed that I was looking at it, he gave me a sign. Didn't say a thing. Gave me a sign with his face. Tell me I'm not, son, this is not me. I'm not impressed with this thing. He didn't have to say a word with his mom. And I was very comfortable. He had fancy cars. Cadillac, new Cadillac. But never was he attached to those things. I'm telling you something about God, Muhammad, that you need to know. He was never attached to those things. But he fooled that new group. He pretended like this is all, yes, we're being put now in heaven, brother. This is the heaven God promised us. No, that was not him. He was fooling the new leaders so he could use them to help him build the business to impress our people to come and join the Nation of Islam. I have had to do the same thing. When I started out, I had to use people that I was not compatible with. I had no likeness. I found in them nothing of the spirit that was in me. But I had to use them to get support for what I wanted to do at that time. And that has changed, bend it until it was straight enough to leave it alone. And they were there to help me bend it because they were sent among us to destroy what we had before. So they use me and I use them. The only difference, I use them up and they didn't use me up. And most of them, when they saw that I've gotten all out of them that I needed or wanted, they respected me so much. A big one, maybe the biggest one among them. In the leadership, he said to me, he said, Minister, Supreme Minister, they called me back then. He said, Supreme Minister, I don't want to hurt you. I know what you don't want to do. I see what you're doing. So I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to just go. I'll just leave. And he left. He said, if anything you ever need from me, just call. Okay. Now that was a man that I pray God keep him and bless him with a good life here and hereafter. That was a strong and honorable man. another one almost as big as he. He was trying to get me to take on a style, a fancy style as a leader, wear a fancy robe looking like a Christian minister's robe, that red old big old robe, bishop's robe, with big old robes and stuff. So I pretended to go along for a while. Well, when it got a chance to actually have him tailor that robe for me, I had to let him know, no, no, I can't do that. And he was trying at the same time, giving me all kind of high books on the high science and Christian and religion and the mysteries of religion and stuff, because he had taken such courses like that in college. That was his qualification as a grad, college graduate. He was qualified in religious symbols and mysteries of religion, Christianity. So he gave me all these big books. So he came with this other big man once, with a big old book like this, after coming with one big like that before, come with another big one. So I had to stop. I said, those are not the books. I see just a little portion of the Quran. It's more than you have in all those books. That's what I told him. I didn't get any more of that stuff from him. They stopped. They respected me. So anyway, this one told me, not out of the clear blue sky, we in the secretary's office, we just working. He just out of the clear blue sky looked at me, and I could see the dislike in his eyes. He said, go on and go blind, man. Not a word said between me and that day, or anything like that, all they did. He looks me in my eyes and said, go on and go blind, man. He left and never came back. I didn't say a word to him. What was I to say to him? He's telling me to go on and go blind. I wouldn't say anything to him. It's finished with him. I can't help you. But I don't want you to help me. So he left and never came back. I prayed for him too. That God will give him good. And maybe one day he will come this way. Yes, I do. Because his rejection of me was not personal. He was an agent with a job to do. And certainly my rejection of him was not personal. I'm an agent too, with a job to do. Praise be to Allah. I can hear somebody saying something. I don't care what you say. I don't even have time for it anyway. God has brought me into the field of great works. I don't have time for that anymore. Yes. So that gives you a picture of my father. My mother, I can describe her in one sentence. She lived and died for W.D. Farrakhan and her husband, Elijah Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Nature doesn't give us strong, special people like that often. They don't come off. So I thought to end this first part of my talk to you, or presentation to you today, with this. I'm happier now as your leader than I've ever been. Yes, rejoice.